This is Get Palps by V838 Monoceros, a Star Wars All Media Types Star Wars Prequel Trilogy fanfic. It is rated T and has the archive warnings, graphic depictions of violence, and major character death. Tags include, does Palpatine really count as a major character? Anyway, guess who dies? It's that guy. Fix it. Coruscant Guard to the rescue. Assassination. Mental breakdown, medicinal drug use, panic attacks, politics. This was meant to be nice. Anakin, why are you like this? Summary. Look, we all want to see Palpatine just get taken the f*** down. It probably wouldn't fix everything, but it would probably help a lot. On the cusp of victory, Chancellor Palpatine falls to the absolute last person he would ever expect. In the aftermath, the Jedi are left to put the pieces back together. Vax cursed the empty corridors as he ran through the Senate building. Where the Force were his brothers? He should have been challenged by half a platoon at this point, but the hallway leading to the Chancellor's office was eerily silent. Except, of course, for the distinctive sound of lightsabers ahead, followed by shattering glass. What the Force was happening up there? It was sheer dumb luck that he'd happened to glance at the security cams and notice the mysterious lack of guards. Another brother might have assumed they were just behind in their patrol, but he set the carking schedule and spent hours on those cams. He knew exactly where they were all supposed to be at all times. He wasn't even on duty. He'd gone back for a forgotten data pad and had to calm Thyre to find the carking squad and get them up there. In the meantime, he was faster. He swung around the corner to the Chancellor's office door, griffing twisty hallways, and immediately threw himself behind a pillar as another figure came racing up from the other way. General Skywalker? Who flung himself into the office without even looking towards Vox? Vox came up fast and quiet. Peering around the doorframe, he spotted several Jedi dead on the ground. Shit! And shouting from behind the Chancellor's desk. Looks like someone had finally shot out that damn window. Perfect for snipers gunning for the Chancellor's head. How the man could sit with his back to such obvious sightlines was a mystery to Vox, but the Chancellor wasn't exactly a military man. And Coruscant hadn't been attacked since, well, a few days ago, but centuries before that. Vox proceeded to the next door, absently IDing the downed Jedi as General Kolar and Tin, and spotting General Fisto collapsed in a corner, dead or unconscious. He was more familiar with blasters. Those sure looked like lightsaber wounds, he vaguely recognized from old briefings. Framed against the window, the Chancellor huddled against the corner as General Windu towered over him, shouting at General Skywalker, who, frankly, looked like shit. Just as Vox reached the doorframe, Chancellor unleashed a torrent of lightning at Windu, shrieking in unhinged rage. Vox flinched back out of sight, hearing Windu groan at the effort of holding back the assault. A minute later, and it was over, the Chancellor falling back against the window frame, crying about his weakness. Bullshit. Vox might not have known much about the Force. He didn't work with the generals like his brothers off Coruscant. He mostly dealt with annoying or irate senators and the joys of politics. But that lightning wasn't natural, and the way the man's face seemed to almost melt, it wasn't something the Jedi would ever practice. Which meant Sith. They'd suspected the Separatists had a spy in the Senate. "He must stand trial," cried Skywalker from his and Windu's standoff over the Chancellor. "What? Oh, sure. A trial for the Chancellor who'd repeatedly voted himself emergency powers and was an entire term over his limit? Who had, apparently, killed three of the greatest generals in the Jedi Order? Sure, he'd just walk off quietly into a cell for them." "He has control of the Senate and the courts," Windu pointed out grimly. At least someone was thinking. Although, he's too dangerous to be left alive. True. Vox and all of the Coruscant Guard were pretty in the know on the corruption of the Senate and courts. With the Chancellor's power to back him, the man would get off scot-free if it even came to a trial. But Vox had also gotten a front-row seat to the latest propaganda on the war. And the Jedi. or lack thereof. All the great victories were attributed to the clones, except for a few exceptions, like Skywalker. The Jedi were barely mentioned, except for the rumors of incompetence, lies, and power grabbing. No, Palpatine couldn't go to the courts, but the Jedi couldn't be the ones to remove him. Mind made up, Fox peeked around the corner and waited for his moment, kneeling to get a clear view of the target. Wait for it. Windu swept an arm back in preparation to swing. Skywalker lunged, and Fox took the shot. Fox hadn't waited around to see what happened next. He was the best in the guard, who were the best in the gar. That's why they were guarding the most important members of the Republic, after all. Sure, you could shoot a turbo laser through the Senate and not actually hit anyone worth a damn, except maybe the janitors, but he supposed someone had to sit around and look important. Taking another turn into the secret stairway behind the massive Ontoglian vase, Fox weighed his options and lightly jumped the rail, dropping 6 floors before catching on and clambering back over. The faster he could do this, the better. Sprinting as quietly as he could down the hallway, he ran past 2 sets of stairs before heading back up and quickly circling around once more towards the Chancellor's office, in time to come up behind Thayer's squad. "Thayer, what's the situation?" he snapped, quickly taking point. "Couldn't find the guard shift, sir, so I dug up the Bergs and we're headed for the Chancellor's office. Orders?" "Move cautiously, but quickly. I've got a report of possible fighting and at least 1 Jedi on scene," Fox replied. There was no way Skywalker hadn't been reported. The man had no idea how to be subtle. "Burgundy Squad, be ready for action. Thayer and I will take point." "If you insist, sir," Thayer quipped back, pulling up to pace Fox. "You take left, I'll take right?" "No, I'll take left. You take right," Fox finished off the familiar banter, glad the helmet hid his expression. This was the least planned plan he'd ever come up with, and he could only hope Thayer caught on quick. And the Bergs kept their mouth shut long enough to debrief. Approaching the door, Fox gave the command to fan out, taking position at the left door while Thayer covered the right. After a 2-finger countdown, they went in hard and fast. "General Windu!" Fox exclaimed as they burst into the office, Windu looking up from where he was checking on a sobbing Skywalker. "Okay, then. What happened?" Windu drew himself up to his full height. "The Chancellor is dead. The Jedi..." "Oh, no, he didn't. Kirking Jedi honor." "An assassin," Fox cut him off mid-word. He felt Thayer twitch, but forged ahead. "Here. Did you see them? Where did they go?" Under the helmet, Fox cringed. He'd never been this unprofessional in his life. But he'd be damned if he let the Jedi take the fall for this mess. He ignored Thayer's stare into the side of his helmet as he locked eyes on Windu, who paused, took a deep breath, which looked like the first breath he'd taken in days. Wow, these guys needed to sleep. "Well," May started slowly, "honestly, Commander, I'm not sure. My deepest apologies, but we were distracted and didn't see them. They struck from afar and were away before we could catch them." Fox cast a quick glance at Skywalker to see if they needed to worry about any Skywalker shenanigans, but the general seemed completely incapacitated by whatever breakdown he was having. Well, at least that wasn't Fox's job. "Burgundy Squad, spread out. Search the rooms. Minnie and Tails, guard the door. This is a crime scene. No one in or out," Fox ordered, sending them into a scuttle of activity. Thayer shuffled another step closer but didn't say anything. Maybe Fox could still pull this off. "If you'll excuse me," Windu pulled himself together another inch, "I must see to my fellow counselors and alert the council. What remains now?" Giving the clones a short bow, he knelt again by Skywalker and touched a hand to his brow, neatly scooping him over a shoulder as the younger general collapsed. Nodding again to the guard, he quickly headed off in the direction of the temple's speeder pad. Fox moved to examine Palpatine's corpse. Single blaster shot, dead to the head, as he'd already known. Jedi could see the future and move faster than normal people, but they couldn't watch everything at once, and it wasn't like the man had anywhere to dodge. He absently checked for a pulse. Definitely dead. Okay, Fox, what's this about? Muttered Thayer, keeping an eye on the squad wandering around the other room. New intel came in. Palpatine was the Sith Lord and the spy for the Separatists, Fox murmured back. Well, it wasn't wholly confirmed. He did actually pay attention when the Jedi talked about Dooku and the Sith. You never knew. They might attack Coruscant. Try and assassinate the Chancellor or something. Fox might also need some sleep. So what? Thayer hissed back. You shot the man? Because I have to say, Fox, those sure look like bolts from a DC-15. Plenty of people use similar blasters, Fox hissed back. Especially someone trying to get into the Senate dressed as a trooper. Probably the best way to sneak around. What about the lightsabers and the dead Jedi? You sure some random assassin could manage that? Ventress is still unaccounted for, Fox countered quickly. Or another fallen Jedi, like Krell, could have gone for the Chancellor. Or someone trying to frame the Jedi with black market sabers or something. You know what they're saying these days. It's a good cover. Or it could be a conspiracy, Thayer mused, finally getting into it. Those rumors must have come from somewhere. A Separatist plot to discredit the Jedi in preparation for their final contingency plan, when all else has failed. Send in the assassin to turn the Republic against the Jedi and take out the Chancellor in one fell swoop. Bring down the Republic's most dedicated peacekeepers, who have stood against the tides of darkness for thousands of years. Leaving the Republic vulnerable to attack, Thayer finished. Whether from pirates, discontented systems, or even a Separatist comeback. See, this is why I need you here, Thayer, Fox teased. Come up with this stuff. After you killed the Chancellor, Thayer hissed back. Stars, Fox. Hey, we both know he was shady as shit. You're just mad I got there first. Damn it, I am! The next morning, there was a press conference. Mace was just happy Shaak Ti was back on Coruscant, and he'd managed to dump this in her lap. Perhaps as acting head of the Order, it should have been his job, but the healers had insisted on rest and recovery. He'd fought a Sith Lord, after all. Although he couldn't take credit for the kill, that went to the mysterious shooter. Mace's bet was on a trooper, but he'd been so focused on Palpatine that between the roiling darkness, crackling shatter points, and Skywalker's hysterics, he hadn't even noticed a Force signature. Still, whoever they were had quite possibly saved the Order. He might not have been used to considering the Order's public image before the war, but with the benefit of a full night's sleep, he could easily see how his actions could have been misconstrued and used to accuse them of treason, especially with Palpatine's many supporters in the Senate. A clever, vicious plan. Whether Palpatine had lived or died, it would have been his victory. Apparently, he'd forgotten to account for the clones, who may have been loyal to the Republic, but had been fighting side by side with the Jedi while the Senate sat back and shot down bill after bill to even recognize them as people. Mace tuned back into the holo channel, now showing a regal Shaak Ti calmly and gracefully answering questions from the assorted reporters. Probably the worst part of the job, but Ti managed to stay serene through increasingly ridiculous accusations, promising a swift and thorough search for the assassin, or assassins, and an investigation into the missing guards and other potential targets. Ah, excellent. If they could go through Palpatine's rooms with the excuse of looking for signs of theft or recording devices, they were bound to find something to link him to the Sith or the Separatists. Hopefully, the latter. The Jedi had done too well a job convincing the galaxy that the Sith were dead for it to be accepted as an accusation against such a high-ranking politician without even more questions. Master Ti wrapped up the press conference and headed off stage, dodging shouted questions from the insistent media. One droid actually whizzed towards her head before being lightly batted aside by the wave of her hand. The brazenness of reporters never failed to make him flinch. He didn't bother to listen to more than a minute of the news station's incendiary commentary before giving it up as a bad job and going back to his stack of reports. With both Dooku and Grievous dead, and the Sith Lord with them, Separatists would be floundering. Now was the time to remind the galaxy what the Jedi were meant for and start pushing for peace talks. Crushing the remains of the Separatist planets beneath the heel of the Gar would only lead to a worse situation later. No, it was time for the Jedi to stop being generals and remember how to be Jedi. Finally, they could stop the fighting and work towards what really mattered. Peace at last. Anakin closed his eyes against another wave of tears. Palpatine was dead. His last chance of saving Padme. He'd tried so hard to be a good Jedi. Ever since Qui-Gon took him away from Tatooine, all he'd wanted was to be the perfect Jedi and save people. But then he'd met Padme again. And they were in love, and the Order's rules seemed so stupid when Padme made him so much better. And the Council was never going to trust him anyway. And Obi-Wan just didn't understand. And then his mother was dead, and the Tuskens with them, and really, he was never going to be a proper Jedi after that. They'd throw him out as soon as they found out, and hunt him down as a Darksider, and really, with all that, why shouldn't he marry Padme? If he was going to get kicked out anyway, he might as well have the woman he loved for as long as they let him. He choked back another sob. Except he couldn't even keep her safe, and now Palpatine was gone, and maybe he'd been a Sith, but he'd also been Anakin's oldest friend on Coruscant, really. What was so bad about being a Sith anyway? What was so awful about caring about the people you loved, wanting to keep them safe, save them? Anakin gritted his teeth against a wave of anger. His emotions were out of control. If he didn't get a handle on it soon, they'd feel it. They'd feel it and give him that look, that he was a failure of a Jedi who couldn't even control his own feelings, and they'd want to know why. They'd push and push, and it would all come pouring out of that horrible burning place in his chest where he put everything he couldn't let them know. And they'd see just how awful and horrible he was, and hate him, and throw him out, and he could never come back, or see Obi-Wan or Padme or his home ever again. Anakin curled tighter on the bed in the healer's room as the creak of the opening door interrupted his spiraling thoughts. "Oh, Anakin," Obi-Wan sighed as he sat down on the chair. "Oh, Anakin." He always said that when Anakin had done something wrong. Anakin didn't answer. "Wait. Obi-Wan, you're back!" Anakin sat up, maybe a bit too quickly. They'd given him something when he'd first woken up and couldn't breathe, everything coming crashing down too fast, too much. It was still much, but distant. Just enough for him to breathe and think and realize, oh no, Force, what had he done? "You're okay," Anakin pushed through the wooziness. "I mean, are you okay? Did you catch Grievous?" "I did, Anakin, and I'm all right. Calm yourself." Obi-Wan gave him a worried smile. "I'm more worried about you. Master Windu said you fought a Sith Lord." "He said, what? That's not, that isn't, but he could..." "It was a test, wasn't it?" They were always testing him. They never trusted him. Always trying to push and push and catch him out. Windu had told Obi-Wan what happened, and now Obi-Wan was checking to see if he'd tell the same story. And if he agreed, that would be, what, bragging? That's un-Jedi-like. Or just lying. It would be lying, and they'd catch him. He had to tell them... Wait, tell them what? That he attacked Master Windu? That he sided with the Sith Lord? That Palpatine promised he could save his wife, Padme. Padme and their unborn child. And that mattered more to him than their stupid code? And the Order's stupid rules? And he'd kill all of them if that's what it took? Anakin, breathe, please. Tell me what's wrong. I didn't fight him. I didn't do anything. I didn't know what to do. Anakin, I didn't. I couldn't. I promised. He promised me. Promised you what? Anakin, calm yourself. And there they were. The questions, the poking and prodding into all of his secrets and failures and flaws, and he was so sick of it. He promised to help her. He promised to save her. And none of you care. None of you give a shit because of your stupid code and your stupid rules, and I'm so tired of pretending to care about all your bullshit. It all came pouring out of him, torn from the depths of his soul, screaming accusations and wrenching sobs. His hatred of the Jedi rules, their code, everything keeping him and Padme apart, everything that led to his mother's death. Obi-Wan kept trying to say something, ask questions, calm him down, but he didn't want to be calm. He shouted over Obi-Wan until he went silent and kept going. His anger, their indifference, their mistrust, their expectations, their lies and hypocrisy, his fear for his wife and his child, getting kicked out of the Order, of failing everyone. He shouted until he couldn't force the words past the sobs, and buried his face in Obi-Wan's tunic, hiding like he hadn't since he was 11 and had broken one of Windu's cactus pots. "Anakin, Anakin, it's all right. Just breathe. Please breathe. We'll sort this out." Obi-Wan's soothing chant eventually broke through Anakin's confused thoughts. Not that it made sense. "Don't you hate me?" What? Don't you hate me? You're supposed to hate me. I'm horrible, awful. I've done such terrible things. Anakin, you're my brother. I could never hate you, Obi-Wan replied, with an edge of grief. But I got married, and I love her, and I kept it a secret, and that's against the code. Anakin, Obi-Wan said slowly, clearly. Anakin, I knew about you and Padme. What? Well, I didn't know you'd gone and gotten married, but I'm pretty sure the entire 501st knew you two were involved. Griff, I'm pretty sure most of the council knows or suspects. Subtle, you are not. But you didn't say anything! I was waiting for you to tell me. You're an adult, Anakin. You're entitled to your secrets and keeping your own counsel. I didn't want to push you. I wanted you to be comfortable with coming to me. But what? I thought you didn't care. Oh, Anakin. Another sigh. It seems I owe you an apology. What? What? For failing you so greatly you could ever believe I didn't care. Obi-Wan gently tugged on the back of Anakin's neck, moving back to look him in the eyes. Anakin, I love you. You are my brother and my greatest friend. I'm honored to have had you as a student. Every day I count myself lucky to have seen you grow into a fine young Jedi. Anakin's eyes once more filled with tears as Obi-Wan's sincerity pulsed through his speech. Okay. Anakin moved back to lean on the headrest, wiping at his eyes and curling away. But aren't I going to get kicked out? For getting married. Well, it's not ideal. Obi-Wan stroked his beard, leaning back in his chair. Normally, you'd have to explain your actions to the council, and you'd likely be put on probation. You'd work under another Jedi, preferably an experienced master, to prove you can remain objective and dedicated to the code. Frankly, considering the war and all, I'd advise taking leave anyway. No, we're not throwing you out. To give you time to be with your family and decide if being a Jedi is something you want to do. It's not for everyone. And if you are happier leaving the Order to pursue a family, there's nothing wrong with that. You want to stay affiliated with the Jedi, there's always the service corps. Or with your skills, there's any number of careers you could choose from. But I'd never see you again. Don't be ridiculous, Anakin. You will always be my friend. Especially if you have children running around. Force knows how they'll end up without my guiding influence. Hey, I'd make a great father. Of course you will, Obi-Wan smiled gently, and Anakin smiled back. Maybe things really would be okay. It didn't take long to find the evidence to prove Palpatine was not only a Sith, but a traitor to the Republic. Mace sighed as he approached the pod. Yoda was still returning from Kashyyyk, and as someone had leaked the security tapes from the Chancellor's office, the Senate wanted to hold the hearing now. He calmly ignored the renewed shouting from the gathered delegates as the pod left its dock, and the questioning began. Yes, the Jedi had received a tip that Palpatine was a traitor and a Sith Lord. No. They had not sought Senate approval, as they were forced to move quickly before he could retaliate against them or the messenger. Yes, the Jedi had attempted to arrest him. No, the Jedi had not attacked first. Yes, Mace himself had fought him to a standstill. No, he had not caused Palpatine's terrible injuries. Jedi didn't use such abilities. No, Skywalker's inaction was not a betrayal of the Republic. Sith were known to influence the minds of others. No, they did not know who had fired the killing shot. Yes, they had obfuscated details of the event. It was deemed necessary to prevent tampering in the investigation. No, they had not seen fit to inform the Senate investigation as to Palpatine's betrayal. They still remained unsure how deep his influence went and could not take the chance that his allies would retaliate against the Jedi or the Republic until additional evidence was found. The questions came in thick and fast. Most thinly veiled attempts to place blame on the Jedi. Senator Organa was a staunch supporter, repeatedly reminding the Senate that they had, now, confirmed that Palpatine was indeed a traitor, but the politicians were up in arms as the shouting match turned to the Jedi's role in the war and the Republic as a whole. Calls for their arrest, exoneration, disbanding, or expansion under Senate control flew around the massive chamber. Mace felt his face grow tight. When he'd suggested the council plan for the worst, he hadn't actually expected the Senate would go so far. But he could sense the turn the gathered senators as they called to put the Jedi under full control of the Senate began to gain steam. "Senators," he began. "Senators!" Fortunately, Masamito was nowhere near the politician Palpatine had been. "The chairman recognizes Master Windu of the Jedi Order," the chagrin intoned with a hint of a smirk at the Jedi's predicament. "Members of the Senate, I remind you that this body has no authority over the Jedi Order," Mace began, ignoring the swell of indignation. "Our duty is to the galaxy as a whole, and our charter is to the Republic, not the Senate. We have answered the calls of the Senate as they have represented the needs of the Republic. We have bowed to the whims of the Senate as we have called upon your support. We have followed the orders of this Senate as they stood against the darkness we, the Jedi, defeated nearly 1,000 years ago. But we are not, in the end, under the jurisdiction of this Senate. We are, in fact, classified under Republic law as a religious and spiritual organization, and therefore cannot be placed under Senate jurisdiction. The Jedi Council has meditated long on this topic, following the cessation of this galactic war. We have considered our part in it, and our place in the Republic, in light of the recent suffering and the great betrayal of former Chancellor Palpatine. We have considered our strengths, our limitations, and from where those limitations stem. It is, therefore, the decision of the Jedi Council to sever ties with the Galactic Senate." Mace raised his voice above the uproar of shouting. "No longer shall we be beholden to your orders or your selected missions. We shall return to our roots, traveling the galaxy and offering aid to those that need it most, regardless of species, planet of origin, or political beliefs. Anyone who has need of an impartial party, including the Republic, may call on Jedi assistance, and should we, the Jedi Council, or the Jedi in the field, decide it is needed, we shall answer." The shouting erupted into a deafening roar as Mace finished his speech and moved his pod back into place. Senators were leaning over their pods to yell down at him, shaking fists and furiously waving appendages. Masameda looked like he'd seen his own death and was weakly calling for order. No matter. The paperwork was in. They didn't actually need anyone's signature. Just a notice of amendment to their charter. There was nothing the Senate could do. And the Separatist leadership had already requested Jedi assistance with the peace negotiations. It was time to get back to work.